Now, I'm going to be speaking to you today from the book of John, chapter 17. I would just like it very much if you would find your Bible. Maybe you have one there close by the television. Go into the other room, find one. But I'd like very much for you to follow along as I read some of the scripture from John chapter 17. I'm going to use several verses in this message. Here's the title of the message. What Christ came to do. What did He come to do? Jesus Christ came into this world and He did something. Now, what did He come to do? Now, I'm going to be using John 17. And while you're finding the passage, let me make some introductory comments. First of all, back in the preceding chapter, just a few moments before, He prayed this prayer in John 17, just a few moments before. In John 16, verse 28, our Lord speaking to His disciples, and He said this to His disciples. He said, I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father. Now, you can't say that, and I can't either. We didn't exist before we were born. When we were conceived in our mother's womb, that was the beginning. When we were born and came into this world, that was it. But Jesus Christ said, I'm here on this earth, and I came from somewhere. I came from the Father. You see, He's declaring His deity here. I and my Father are one. I can't explain the Trinity. You can't. Nobody else can. But Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When God created man, He said, let us make man. When He talked to Isaiah, He said, whom shall I sin, who will go for us? And when our Lord was baptized, the Father spake from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, sent the Holy Spirit. John said, there are three that bear record in heaven, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I can't explain the Trinity. I just know that Jesus Christ is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And here He says, I came forth from my Father. And He declares His preexistence. He said in John 17, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ has always been. And then He declares His covenant character. He said, I came forth from the Father. I came forth. I came, I was sent. I came on a mission. You see, the whole Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, is full of promises and prophecies and pictures of a coming Messiah, of a coming Redeemer, of a coming one called the Christ. It's all the way through the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, the Lord said, I'll raise up from the midst of you a prophet like unto Moses, him you shall hear. And then He said, I'll raise up a king, a son of David. And He said, I'll raise up a priest like Aaron, or after the order of Melchizedek. And Isaiah 7:14 says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you'll call His name Emmanuel, God with us. And Jeremiah 23 says, I'll raise up a king, a branch, and He'll execute justice and judgment in the earth, and His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples here, I'm He. I came forth from the Father in the fulfillment of every promise, every prophecy, every picture. Christ is that rock. Christ is that bread from heaven. Christ is that serpent lifted up. All right, notice the next thing He said in the same verse now. He said, I came forth from the Father, and I'm come into the world. I am come into the world. He's here in the world. He was in the world. Think about this now. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Isn't that something? That's hard to comprehend. It's a mystery. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How could God make something and be in it? And yet he did. How could God make? He said he was in this world and the world was made by him. And the world didn't even know him. But he said, I'm come into the world. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Son of God, the Word, and he was with God, and he was God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. God was in Christ. I came forth from the Father, and I came into this world. Now watch this next line. I now leave the world and go back to the Father. Now, actually, there's no way the Lord Jesus can leave anywhere. He's omnipresent. That means all present, present everywhere. David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me. The night shall be light about me. Christ said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. So what does he mean here? I leave the world. He said, I came from the Father. I came into the world. I now leave the world. He speaks here what I've been telling you, as the Christ. He speaks as the second Adam. He speaks as the representative man. Jesus Christ came into the world as the representative of his people. He came flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, tempted in all points as we are, made of a woman, made under the law, circumcised under the Levitical law. He lived as a carpenter. He worked. He sweated. He toiled. He wept. He knew pain, thirst, hunger, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, all of these things. He was in this world. And as that representative, the second Adam, the first Adam is of the earth, earthy. That's the name Adam, means red earth, taken from the earth. That's the first Adam of the earth, earth. Second Adam's the Lord from heaven. I came from the Father. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we're going to bear the image of the second Adam, the heavenly. And by one man's sin, Adam's sin, many were made sinners. By the obedience of the second man were many made righteous. And the scripture says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So you see, he said, I came from the Father. I came into this world. Now go back. But my point today is this. The Son of God came from the Father. He came into the world. He left the world, went back to the Father, where he entered as our forerunner within the veil and is seated as our mediator. Why did he come? What did he do on this earth? What was he doing here? I hear preachers say, well, he'll solve your financial problems. He'll solve your marriage problems. He'll take you off drugs. He'll solve the alcoholic problem. He'll get you another job. Is that why he came into the world? Is that his office work? Something so of such pittance and smallness and all temporary to perish with the using thereof? Why did he come? What did he do? Well, let's look at John 17 and let him tell us what he came to do. In verse 1, John 17, you have it? Be worth your while to read it. Now, these words spake Jesus. That's talking about the preceding words, some of which I just quoted, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. These words spake Jesus to his disciples, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, now here the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, our Redeemer, is talking to the Father. And he says, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. He's facing a terrible, terrible, agonizing death. He's facing a monumental, battle, bearing sin and shame and death, and he's asking for strength. Glorify me, strengthen me, give me power, help me to glorify you. That's what he's praying. Now glorify me in death, that I may glorify thee. And then he said this in verse 2, thou hast given him, your son, power, authority over all flesh. Jesus Christ is not the weak-kneed, pitiful, impotent, feminine character that he's made out to be by most preachers. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the mighty king and the conqueror and the great warrior and the victorious Lord who has all authority over all flesh and in heaven and earth. He said, listen, thou hast given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. In verse 3, he says this, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. To know God, that's eternal life. Not to adopt a form of worship or a form of religion or a creed or a catechism. It's to know God in the heart and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now then, he tells us what he came to do in the next verses. He tells us, this is mighty. This is the Son, the Redeemer, the Messiah, talking to the Heavenly Father. And he says in verse 4, here's what I've done. Here's what I've done. I've glorified thee on the earth. Father, I have glorified thee on this earth. That's what Christ is saying. The Lord Jesus is God. And as God, he has all glory. He said, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But here he speaks as the man, Christ Jesus. And he said, as a man, I have glorified you on this earth. That's the work God gave him to do. He sent forth from the Father and came to this earth. And one of the things he came to do was to obey God, to fulfill a righteousness. He was manifested that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he speaks here as a man in human flesh. He glorified God on this earth. What is it to glorify God on the earth? No man's ever done it except Christ. To glorify God on the earth is to love him perfectly, to obey him perfectly, to live in perfect submission to his purpose and his will. And this only Christ did. Oh, it's required of all men. It's required of all men, but no man's ever done it. But Jesus Christ, as a man, representing the people that God had given him, knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin. And he's the only person of whom the Father ever said, I'm well pleased. I've glorified you on the earth. That's what he came to do. Secondly, look at verse 4. I have finished the work you gave me to do. What's this work that he came to do? He says he finished it. He didn't make a down payment. He didn't make an installment payment. He didn't set it up so you could wind it up. He finished it. That's what he cried when he died. It's finished. It's finished. I finished the work you gave me to do. Well, let's see if we can find out what that work is. Well, the angel who announced his birth described his work. The angel said to Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's his work. John the Baptist identified his work. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's his work. Paul identified his work. He said in 1 Timothy 1, this is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation by all people. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Our Lord said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. That's what I came to do. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. John said, the Son of God was manifested to take away our sins. That's what he came to do. He didn't come down here just to set an example. He didn't come down here as a great reformer to try to straighten the world out. He appeared, Paul said, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Peter said he died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's why he came. That's his work. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what he came to do. And so when he came to this earth and lived here 33 and a half or 34 years and died on that cross, buried and rose again, he said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. I finished it. Now, don't listen to some preacher tell you God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. That's foolishness. Christ finished it. Finished the work. All right, thirdly, look at verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name. Now, he's talking about what he's done. He's talking to the Father. I've glorified you on this earth. That's what I came to do. I finished the work you gave me to do. And I have manifested your name, the name of God, unto the men which you gave me out of this world. What is it to manifest something? Manifest. He said, I've manifested your name. Well, it's to reveal it. Make it manifest. Reveal it. It's to make it clear. It's to make it plain. It's to show what it is. And Christ said, I've done it. Nobody else could do it. No man knows the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God at any time. The Son hath declared him. God's name is his attribute. God's name is his character. God's name is his glory. God's name is who God is. And Christ said, I've manifested. I've made it clear, plain. I've revealed who God is. I have declared unto them thy name. And listen, he says in verse 26, and I will declare it. I have declared your name, and I will declare it. That's the reason you can't go to church and find out who God is. You have to go to Christ or to a church where Christ is preached. You see, the name of God, you ever looked at the name of God in the Old Testament? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And in the Old Testament, God has a sevenfold name. Let me show you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's what Abraham said to Isaac. The Lord will provide. He'll see to it. Christ is that lamb provided. Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He healeth our sicknesses and our diseases. That's spiritually. Mainly. Jehovah Nissa, he's our banner. He reigns over us. Jehovah Shalom, peace. Christ is our peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Jehovah Rea, the Lord's my shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord be with you. That's all revealed in Christ. I've manifested your name. Show us the Father. And Christ said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Now verse 8. Now listen to this. What our Lord came to do. He said in verse 8, I have given them thy words, the words you gave me, and they have received them. I have given them thy word. My friends, God's word is the doctrine of God. God's word is the testimony of God. God's word is the gospel of God. God's word is the word of truth. Now tell me, who can reveal God's word better than the one who himself is called the word of God? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. See, the word spoken, and here's what most folks miss. They talk about the good book and the Bible and the so forth and so on. Let me tell you something. The word written, and the word spoken, and the word incarnate cannot be separated. Christ is the Word of God. And when he said, now listen to this, he said, I have given them thy word. I have given them thy word. He meant more than just preaching it to them. Most people make fun of preaching, and most preaching ought to be made fun of. But our Lord preached the word to a lot of folks who never heard it, who never believed it, who never received it. I've preached the word to a lot of people who've never heard it, never believed it, never received it. But when he says here, our Lord says, I have given them your word. Meaning by that, I've given them ears to hear it. Oh, how blessed is the person who has ears to hear the word of God. How I've given them eyes to see it. You know, there are a lot of people can sit right while a man's preaching the gospel and pay no attention to him and not listen to him. And you know why? They don't have ears to hear, eyes to see, nor heart to understand. God's never given them spiritual interest or inclination. That's right. And when he says here, I have given them your word, he says, I have given them ears to hear it and eyes to see the beauty and glory of your promises and a heart to rejoice. Pity the person who has no ear to hear and no eye to see and no heart to rejoice. I've given them thy word. Anybody can quote Bible. You say, I can quote John 3:16. I can quote Psalm 23. I can quote Psalm 100. Anybody can quote the Bible. It's another matter to believe it, to receive it, to experience it, to walk in it. And that's what Paul said about the Thessalonians. He said, I know you are the elect of God because our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came in power, power, and much assurance in the Holy Ghost. Whoo! Whole new ball game there. And that's something your mama can't do for you and your daddy can't do for you that only Christ can do. I've given them your word. And it's more than a rabbit's foot, and it's more than a four-leaf clover, and it's more than a good luck charm, and it's more than something to fall back on at a funeral. It's the life of God in the soul. Now watch verse 9. What did he come to do? I pray for them. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for this world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. I pray for them. You notice our Lord said in these preceding verses, he said, I have glorified thee. I have finished the work. I have manifested your name. I have given them the word. But when he came to praying for them, he didn't say, I have prayed for them. You know why? Because he never quits praying for us. I have prayed for them. I am praying for them, and I shall pray for them. So he just says, I pray for them. You see, that's what Romans 8:34 tells us. Christ died, is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And in Hebrews 7:25, he says this, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He prays for us. My, my. Look at verse 12. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them. I kept them. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them's lost, except Judas, son of perdition from the beginning. But I've kept them. You see, my friends, this salvation of Christ, this salvation which he purposed, which he purchased, which he wrought out by the sacrifice of himself, is an eternal salvation. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. He that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it. We're not talking about a temporary salvation. We're not talking about joining the church and leaving next month. We're not talking about coming to Christ and leaving next year. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion and power both now and forever. I kept them. The power of the blood of Christ keeps his people. Intercession of Christ keeps his people. And none of them is lost. None of them. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Plenty of room in heaven, but no vacancies. Plenty of room. There's room for you, but there's no vacancy. Every place card has a name on it. And none will be lost. There won't be a one missing. And then in verse 18, he says, as you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. You see, our Lord Jesus didn't take this office upon himself. It was given him by the Father. And those who preach the gospel of God's grace in the power of God's Spirit, they don't take that office. Paul said, God put me in the ministry. We preach the gospel. He sent us. And then the last thing, he said, and the glory which thou gavest me, that unspeakable, immutable, infinite, eternal glory, I have given them. Now, I have two messages. What is it to confess Christ? And what did Christ come to do? Send $2 and we'll mail you this tape with two messages. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.